Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Happy Friday to you. TGI MF. You figured out. You got it? Yep, he got it. Just hit home. Welcome in. Let's get our heads right on a Friday. And today we're going to earn our money. I'll tell you that right now. This is why we get paid. We don't get paid for during baseball season. We get paid for days like this. A very slow-ish sports day and night, especially locally, but fine by me, man. More room to explore the space here on Ben and Woods this morning. May even take some calls later in the show. You never know.
Whoa.
You never know. Well, it's fake trade proposal season, and I have seen some bangers over the last 24 hours. Some absolute doozies, and if you ever watched Seinfeld, it's reminiscent of when George Costanza laid in a ditch for 24 hours, walked into George Steinbrenner's office and said, I think I found a way for us to get Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr. We don't have to give up that much. I'm seeing proposals out there like that. And so, we can weed through some of the mess and try to get to the root of what the Padres really need, certainly. But let's have some fun also. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the EP, the executive producer. Ben Higgins is, hi, Paulie. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well, fresh off a 79 yesterday on the golf course. He's back.
I did play well yesterday.
Back in the 70s.
Scrambling game was on point.
Today, eight
up and down pars on the round. I haven't done that in a long time.
Today is one of those days we could honestly sit back and listen to your shot by shot, all 79 shots of your round at Palma.
Let's start the campfire.
All right.
Didn't start that well, actually. Pulled my opening drive into the rough, topped my second shot through a bunker, sculled my third shot into the fairway at least, sculled the fourth shot over the green, and three-putted for double bogey to start.
That's how you started.
Yep.
That's a six?
Seven.
Par five. Oh, par five.
Par five, seven to start. My only double bogey, though.
Okay. And that was it.
That was it. After that, I played pretty well.
What'd you do on two?
Drove it into the fairway, pulled my second shot slightly and long, had a nice chip, but rolled about 7-8 feet past, didn't make the putt, made a bogey on two.
Okay, so double bogey, yeah. Bogey.
And then up and down pars on 3, 4, and 5. Bogeyed 6 after pulling my second shot left. Really good drive into the fairway, but pulled my second shot left. 7... Par 3, hit the green, 3-putted. So, I mean, it wasn't a great start.
All right,
the first 7 holes, I am 5 over.
This is a fun exercise. What did you do on 14?
14, I left my second good drive, left my second shot short. Chipped up onto the green a little short, missed the putt, and made a bogey there.
I really need to teach you how to count cards like they did in Rain Man. So that's what we're going to work on next. I'm going to be, throughout the next week, I'm going to be throwing toothpicks on the ground, and I'm going to need you to count them with your eyes, okay? Anyone that can have that kind of recall is impressive to me. It's impressive.
But I don't have it on everything.
Well, let's
have it on my own golf game.
Well, let's practice. We're going to start doing the toothpick game in here. I'm just going to come in here. I'm going to go, and Ben, what do you got? You're going to go, 71. And we'll see how you do. And then we'll learn how to count cards and make a lot of money.
But I've seen people who teach like memory tricks when you're trying to learn how to do it, is they say to create like a world in your head. Mm-hmm. And for me, if I really need to remember something, I will like put things on a golf course in my head, like hole by hole. Like if I have to remember a list of things,
you're
and like
joking
on the first green, I'll picture like, okay,
no way,
I need to pick up oranges from the store, and then I need this. So there's a pile of oranges on the green on the first green, and then on the second green, there's I need sugar. So there's a bag of sugar like
on
all
the
over
green.
The green. That's how you create it visually in your head. To help you, like a memory palace is what it's called.
I am mind-blowing. Riveted as usual. First I've heard of it.
Never heard of a memory palace.
Nope.
Yeah.
But first I've heard that you do this 7 years in, again. If you need to.
I haven't needed to, like, remember. Now, you know, I just write it on my phone, like in a list.
So
I don't have to create a memory palace for what I need to pick up at the store. But you can do that if you really. If you really have no way to write something down, you have to remember it. It's a test or something. You create a memory palace.
I didn't want to be a jerk, but I was going to say if I need to remember something, I just write it down or I'll text myself often.
I will as well.
Yeah, I'll text myself. Hey, dummy, don't forget to do this. You have an appointment. Yeah, whatever.
I'll do that. Leave it unread.
Yeah,
especially.
Leave it unread.
Ah, yes,
of course. Because you read it and you're like,
and it goes away.
You forget.
But that little circle red dot there. What did I? Oh, I've got to check that. That's
memory
right.
palace.
Yeah, memory palace.
I won't stop thinking about that for the rest of the day. What else do you put on there?
Whatever you need to, I mean, anytime you need to remember a long list of things, it's much easier.
You don't picture like nude women on the green?
If I was trying to remember nude women, then that would be what I would picture on the green.
He read a Playboy once and he goes, hold on, I'm going to put her on 17 at Augusta. Now I got it. That's amazing. You remember in Happy Gilmore, Find Your Happy Place? And he goes to his happy place, and there's the girl. She's got two pitchers of beer, and she's in lingerie, and his grandma's there. It's kind of like that a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
Memory
palace. It's something that's familiar to you, and then you put the things in your mind that you need to remember
I'm reading about it right now.
Why a golf course?
Well, for me, it's a golf course, because I remember golf courses really well. I can picture it in my head.
I'm reading. How to create a memory place. Step one is...
Place or palace?
It can be
palace.
Anything. I mean, a palace can be an actual, like, house. Like, your house, rooms, like, picture your living room filled with stuff, and you walk into the kitchen, and it's filled with the other stuff.
They say for the first time ever trying this, pick a place you know very well, like your home or your office.
All right.
Plan out the whole route. For example, your front door, there's a shoe rack, the bathroom, the kitchen, the living room's over here, you know, et cetera. Some people find that going clockwise is helpful, so they're kind of like scanning the room.
Okay, I'm doing it right now.
Now take a list of something that you want to memorize. Maybe a shopping list of 20 items. Good place to start.
20.
Carrots, bread, milk, apples.
There's no way.
Take one or two items at a time. And place a mental image of them in each locus of your memory palace. Try to exaggerate the images of the items and have them interact with the location. For example, if the first item was carrots and the first locus in your memory palace is your front door, picture some giant carrots opening your front door.
Yeah, exactly. Bali's got it 100% right. This is how
I've
a memory palace works.
I haven't either. And when did you... learn that you did this?
It was a long time ago trick when you're trying to usually remember things
like for
school, for tests and stuff, and you're trying to remember something.
I would just write them on my arm and then pull my sleeve over it, and then during the test I would pull my sleeve up and look at the answers because I don't have a real good memory.
Anyone can work on the memory and have a better memory.
That's
though,
true.
If they want
my
to.
My greatest hack ever. I don't have one in here. I would have a plastic water bottle, like an Arrowhead water bottle
sure.
that you could drink in class.
Yeah.
And I would take off the wrapper.
Inside.
Write the answers on the inside, tape it back up.
The greatest hack of all time when we all got to use those big 14-foot computers and that had the sliding cover. And then you just write all your notes inside the cover on a nice little index card, tape it in there. Put your calculator on, and then you can slide your computer up and get your notes. That's what I did. I cheated on a lot of tests. I'll be.
Do you really think the teachers weren't aware of that? They're not like stupid people. They know, like,
I had an AP
the same
teacher
tricks
in high school
come around every single year.
He gave we had really hard exams, and he would give us one page of notes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You could use one page of notes. However, you were able
Tiny
to make,
little
bro. We had computers. Ah! We didn't have to handwrite at that point.
I almost just fell over.
I had computers. I'm like on Microsoft Word, and it's like literally like size 2 font.
Yeah, tiny.
And you just copy and paste every note you've ever taken onto one page. You're like, hey, I got it. It's
Ben, oh. you ask, don't teachers know? I really think it's one of those things where it's like, not an a-hole about it. I'm not going to be an a-hole about it. I never got caught, but I wasn't good at studying for tests, and I wasn't good at taking tests. But I wasn't the kind of guy that's like, oh, I can't take tests. I was kind of lazy. But I wrote all my own papers. I didn't plagiarize papers or anything like that. But on the, oh, I'm going to a geology final? Yes, I'm going to crib some notes in there. I'm sorry.
And I wasn't like a massive studier. I just had really good recall. You know, I read the material. And usually that was enough. Once I read the material, I could kind of picture it. I have a bit of a photo, not a, I don't have like a photographic memory, like, you know, parlor tricks, but sure. I can, the way I remember things, like in a textbook, I'll remember where it is on the page and that will help me, you know, remember it for the test later.
Jay says, wear an eye patch to the test. That is
on the inside of the eye patch.
Do you remember Spies Like Us, that movie? When
Chevy Chase,
he pulls it out. He's got all the notes inside. Yeah, you know, you do what you got to do. These days, though, I mean, like, I don't know if it's the same for kids or kids in high school and stuff right now where, you know, I don't know that they do it the way that we used to. Read the material, come in and take this test. I don't think it's that way. I know Bo's messing around on iPads and stuff at first grade. They're doing a lot of their stuff online. So that's interesting, though. The Memory Palace. There's a bit in there somewhere. That's a great name for a bit. Memory
but
palace.
We can create a list for you and test you later to see if you can create your own memory palace.
Oh, I like this kind.
Come up with a list for Woods and see if that technique works for you.
A lot of people asking, wanted to check in on me specifically about my disgusting, repugnant underarms.
I was shocked. So you tweeted out yesterday and asked the question about what's a better deodorant I can use that's not going to irritate you know, the skin under my arms.
I just said, men, what's your go-to deodorant that doesn't irritate your underarms? Mine are on fire. And I showed you guys how disgusting they are. It looks like somebody took a blowtorch to it's repugnant and their skin
doesn't
tags.
I can only describe it as like raw hamburger meat.
With hair.
And a couple horns. It was traumatizing. Very scary.
It's not great, dude. And of course, after the show, I went home and I re-looked and it was just like disgusting. So I put it out there. I'm in worse shape than I was.
I mean, you got so many replies.
I got 146 replies. They're damn near all different. So I don't really know what to do.
Everybody has an opinion on deodorant / antiperspirant / use neither, and I've got a different technique. I was amazed at the responses.
I mean, it's truly incredible. And a lot of people are telling me the one that I already use, the Old Spice, and it's just, I can't use it anymore. Clearly, there's an irritant there, so I need something a little softer. Brett Boone, by the way, weighs in on Twitter and just writes, secret. And I said last night to my wife, I go, should I just get secret? And she goes, She's like, it's got the bad stuff in it, too. You know, that she's like, she stopped using deodorant. She uses like, she sprays like alcohol under her arms or something. I don't know. She's got nice underarms.
Like whiskey or what are we talking about here?
Vodka.
Vodka. Yeah. One for the mouth, two for the arms. Mezcal. Yeah. It's, so I don't know. I'm going to have to go through this list.
Fireball under the arms.
Oh.
You'd smell like cinnamon at least,
delicious.
Which would be nice.
I don't really know what to do. I didn't really get like a clear cut answer. I'm gonna try to go in and parse out which ones are truly the best. One guy just sent me one. He said this is truly like the Cadillac of deodorants. I've never heard of it. Necessaire. It looks very fancy.
Is it time to change the expression of the Cadillac of things? Cadillacs aren't that popular anymore. It used to be back in the day, the Cadillac was the, top of the line when it came to vehicles.
What would we say now?
And then it had its resurgence when the Escalade was like the choice of rappers and famous people. It's good, but now I just don't feel like it's necessarily as appropriate anymore. I don't see as many caddies on the road.
It's a story for another day, I think, but I do like that. So I'm going to be checking out. I think I'm going to check out this Necessaire one. Looks like you can get it on Amazon. It says it's a deodorant gel, eucalyptus, aluminum-free, clinical, mandelic acid deodorant, extra strength odor control, no bumps, no discoloration, no parabens. I cannot have any more parabens.
Tired of the parabens.
I'm over it.
Hate parabens.
I hate parabens. So there's your update on my underarms. They're still disgusting.
What about a single Ben?
Oh, a parabens. Oh, my God. All right. Got it. I just got it.
All right.
That's how today's going to be.
I was mostly confused yesterday with your confusion about when you asked before the show yesterday. You were showing off your underarms.
Yeah.
And you asked me and Ben both. You go, when was the last time you guys looked under your arms?
Yeah.
And we both kind of looked at each other and went, I don't know, like an hour ago? Like this morning before we left the house?
Right.
You seemed very confused by that.
What was my confusion?
How do you not look under your arms?
Yeah. You were like, really?
Do you not, when you apply your deodorant, are you not in front of your mirror anyway?
So sometimes what I'll do is I'll put a shirt on first. Because I shower in the morning. You two creeps don't. So I get up, I shower, and then I put my shirt on, and I don't want to get the deodorant stripe down the shirt. So I put my shirt on, then I have to do the, pull it out, put it on. So it makes it a little different.
Gotcha. Okay.
People are, this guy says garlic with a little olive oil. Works for him.
Think you're making a puttanesca, maybe.
I'm marinating a chicken breast under my arm all day. So that'd be perfect, Steve. Thank you. Yeah, somebody said Old Spice hurts. It does. Somebody asked me, do I have jock itch? No.
I've been using the same type of Old Spice for, I don't know.
I can feel it searing 15, right now because I used it again. It's searing.
Gold Bond medicated powder.
Maybe. Maybe I'll try that. I just don't know what to do anymore. Yeah, Secret gets the misogyny bell. Strong enough for a man, but made for a woman. That's very misogynistic, I think.
Do they even use that anymore?
I don't know that they do.
You probably have to retire that nowadays.
I don't know that they do. Well, all right, thank you guys for your concern. I think I'll be okay. I'm just going to... It's just repulsive.
Good luck on your journey.
I'll let you guys know by the new year if I can get the swelling and the skin tags gone.
We are, heading into a holiday weekend.
We are.
So this is our last show until Tuesday morning. Probably a good thing at this point.
Yep.
We will come back set the menu for a Friday and let you know what we've got coming up on the program. We got Woodsy, we got Paulie, we got Ben, we got Kelly Danick with traffic, and then we're back here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You mentioned Happy Gilmore in our opening segment. As you know, I'm not a gigantic Adam Sandler movie fan. But last night,
beneath you, yes.
Last night, we were home, got takeout Thai for dinner, watched the football game. And then I got out my laptop and was doing some show prep, and Shelley turned on a movie. And it was an Adam Sandler movie. And I was sort of half paying attention, just looking up at the screen. And until just this moment, I thought we were watching Big Daddy, which was the 1999 film starring Adam Sandler.
It's an elite movie.
But apparently not, because I just looked at the cast, and this one had, the movie we were watching had Jennifer Aniston, and they were at like a resort, and there was like a guy pretending to be German, and there were a couple of kids.
Just
that
go with it.
Were kind of kids or not kids. And I don't know if they were his kids or not. I wasn't paying close enough attention, but I just realized as I looked up Big Daddy to see, okay, what was this movie? That was not Big Daddy I was watching. What movie was I watching last night?
Just Go With It.
Just Go With It.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Was that a good Adam Sandler movie? I don't remember laughing at all.
Big Daddy was really good.
Big Daddy. We should have watched Big
Happy
Daddy
Gilmore,
instead.
Elite.
Happy Gilmore.
Billy Madison.
Good.
Elite.
Billy Madison, yeah. Big Daddy is one of my favorites.
What was the plot of Just Go With It? I could not understand and follow it.
I think I watched half of it.
Okay. My favorite Adam Sandler movie is Funny People, which I think
it's great.
Was dramatically underrated.
Terrible ending. Long, drawn out.
Yeah.
Horrific, terrible ending. But up to that point,
it's a long movie.
It's a long movie. But the ending, you're like, stupid. There's so many better places to end it, I thought. But Big Daddy's good. My kids love Big Daddy. Loose skin and old balls. Gross. It's so good. Have you not seen Big Daddy?
I have not seen
He's
Big
got
Daddy.
A 5-year plan. What is it?
Don't die. Hey, Old Man River, zip it, I'll break your hip. It's so good. It's such a good movie.
Oh, Hooters.
Quickly, before we get going here, you know Tier 1B George? Well, it's his girlfriend's son, Connor. He's flipped him. He's a hardcore Tier 1 now. And Connor turns 22 today. So happy 22nd, Connor. Connor didn't think that Tier 1B George actually knew us. And he's like, you don't know them. And he's like, watch this. So he DM'd me. So I made a video for him and sent it over to him, and he's a huge, huge Tier 1. He listens every day. So happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday.
And sorry, Tier 1. It's weird because Tier 1B George is, you know, with this guy's mom.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
22. It's the first kind of non-important birthday of your life.
22 was an elite birthday.
I mean, once you've hit 21, no, everything good that can
amazing.
Really happen to you by no. aging
22
is
my lucky number. So
21, you get a bunch of the stupid stuff out of the way.
Yeah.
22, you're like, all right, now I've been around the block. Now I know what I'm doing.
I'm not saying that life is getting worse.
And then like Blake 182 says, nobody likes you when you're 23.
That's right.
You're in your prime for many years. Ooh. I'm just saying that as you age, you know, you come into more things, which whether it's, you know, driving, drinking, gambling, serving in the military, whatever, voting. But 22 doesn't come with any additional privileges.
I got so many privileges when I was 22. I've never actually...
That you didn't have when you were 21.
Uh-huh. I was never more privileged in my whole life. A lot of privilege. Lots. More than I could handle.
21 to about 24 was a pretty elite run.
Yeah. My summer of 22, I had just moved to Chicago. I had the whole summer. Chicago is my oyster. So, yeah, I was privileged many times. Several different privileges.
King of the city.
King of the city. Worked at a bar. It was over. It's hard because I'll be 50 this year. And I look back at that summer. Then I'm like, it's tough to top. Tough to top.
Dominic's is 20. 20 years old sucks.
It's terrible. 20 is the worst
Awful.
Year. It's terrible. 19 is bad. 20.
I think it feels good, though, on your birthday, maybe to get out of your teens.
Yeah,
you're no longer a teenager anymore.
But you're like
the countdown is on.
You're fogging up the window at like all the bars and places you want to go to. You're like, please. And you can go. You have a fake ID and everything else. But to really walk in and be like, all right, no BS. I've really arrived. It was very important to me. Yeah, it was a good year. So happy 22nd, Connor.
All right, setting the menu, coming up on the program today. I did get some new news and notes. Some interesting stuff regarding the San Diego Padres about Xander Bogaerts, Luis Arraez, Michael King, some of the free agent potential targets on the pitching side for the San Diego Padres yesterday. Courtesy of Kevin Acey of the Union Tribune. Want to go through some of those news and notes in our next segment as we'll talk some Padres baseball early.
And courtesy of A.J. Preller, obviously talking to Kevin and being, in my opinion, a little more forthcoming about expectations. I mean, honestly, like we've covered this team for a long time. I had told you guys a couple of weeks ago, I came in raving about Dave Dombrowski and his when he addressed the media. And he had these kind of real detailed plans and expectations for his players. And I said, that's cool. That's refreshing.
He was very transparent.
He was very transparent. And AJ had not been to that point. And I read this thing yesterday and I went, look at that. That feels more transparent.
Well, AJ will occasionally give you a little bit more in a one-on-one setting. And, you know, Kevin's credit, he went to the GM's meetings in San Antonio, which otherwise is probably a really boring 3 days where you're sitting there. But for the, you know, however many minutes he talked to AJ, he got a little bit more out of him than AJ shared on the Zoom with the rest of the media during Mike Schilt's news conference this week. So we will talk about some of the new news and notes that came out yesterday. Do want to talk about the second very interesting ending to a football game in this work week. It started on Monday with the Tampa Bay Bucs not going for two and losing the game in overtime. This time, the road underdog went for two in the final minute and lost the game because they didn't convert against the Baltimore Ravens. And we'll discuss Thursday night football, probably the best Thursday night football game we've seen in quite some time from last night in our 7 o'clock hour. Play Take on Woods. Paulie tells us we've got a brand new monthly Vegas prize. Finally, it's been a couple of weeks, but we got a new getaway to Vegas up for grabs, and you can play Woods on a Friday and try to be the first person to qualify for our new vacation getaway coming up at 7:10. Don't do this at 7:20. And then some more Padres talk as we move forward. Want to start talking about, and this was a topic that I brought up earlier this week, but we didn't really discuss. Potential trade chips for the San Diego Padres this offseason. Both, you know, guys that you'd immediately think of, but also maybe guys we're not thinking of, because AJ always surprises us. Always. Almost every single offseason, there's a move that comes out of nowhere. What could it be? Craig brought up one yesterday on his show that I thought made some sense. I don't know if people would be happy about it, but I think it's definitely something AJ might be considering, and I want to talk about potential moves that we're not thinking of right now that AJ could be making this offseason.
Yeah, and I went down the potentially most embarrassing rabbit hole of my entire career. Paulie knows.
I don't know when you want to do this, but 8 o'clock?
Yeah. I don't know how to feel about myself anymore.
What time?
Really,
this is probably like 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And Woods texted me about this rabbit hole that he had gone down. I was like, ha, totally. He's like, no, you don't understand.
And I kept going.
And I was like, wow, you're really, really into this, like,
I have a lot of apologies.
Gen X drama.
I have a lot of apologies to make.
Or Gen Z? What are they?
I don't know.
One of the gens. A lot of drama.
I'm deep. I got deep.
I was shocked.
Yeah. It's not me. I don't know if I've lost my way a little bit.
I think verbatim, your first text, you talked about it, and then he said, what the F is wrong with me?
Yeah. What is wrong with me? Yep. This is it.
I'm ready to hear about it.
All right.
All right. Stay tuned. It's all coming up. We will be right back with more Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Padres need more from Luis Arraez. Just one of the notes that we got yesterday, courtesy of Kevin Acey in the Union Tribune. We'll talk about some of the things to look for this offseason and heading into next spring training coming up. First, quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. News and notes, and let's start with Xander Bogaerts, Woods, from the UT yesterday, and A.J. Preller, who said Xander Bogaerts will be given a little more notice this year than last season on which position he will be playing in 2025.
Yeah.
Almost certainly be shortstop or second base.
Yes.
Depending on how the offseason progresses for the Padres. But AJ was almost introspective in perhaps acknowledging that the Padres did not handle that as well as they could have last season with waiting until essentially the first day of spring training and then telling Xander Bogaerts,
by the way,
we need you to move to second base this year. We're going to have Ha-Sung Kim play shortstop. No preparation, no off-season to work on it, just day one of spring training.
Yeah. I mean, and we remember, you know, and it did come as a shock, and I thought Xander handled himself really well through that last year. Remember, man, I mean, it's not like what we do. It's not like what you do listening. This is a different thing entirely. And, you know, he had started 1,319 games at shortstop, and you get signed, and they tell you, hey, you're going to be a shortstop for a while, you know, and eventually you'll move off the position. But to show up day one and then say, hey, actually, we're going to need you to play second. You know, I think there are certain players. I don't know, like, I'm sure it's happened before where it's like, hey, if you need me to do this, I'm available. And they say, you know what, we'll take you up on that offer. But to walk in cold, what's up, fellas? I'm back. Hey, what's up, Xander? By the way, you're playing second. It was a little bit of an odd scene, and he handled it as well as he could.
I felt like in my head, when that happened back in March, February, whatever, last year or this year, I feel like in my head I go, there's no way. He had to have known.
Right.
Somebody's not telling the truth
right.
here. There's no way he went the entire offseason preparing to play shortstop.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, by the way, welcome to Peoria. You're playing second. And then you read in those notes yesterday, and you're like, wow, that really did happen that way.
Yeah. Well, here's the quote from A.J. Preller. Quote, I think it was cool the way he handled things. I was a little late because we had a lot of questions about the roster. So we'll get to Xander here in a little bit to have that conversation. Be respectful of him. We'll have that conversation with him here sooner rather than later. Now, I don't it's a good thing to say, and it's a good thing to try to make happen. But at the same time, you still have some roster questions, including some reports yesterday that Ha-Sung Kim has actually been one of the more early targets of multiple teams already in the offseason, that he's gotten calls from multiple teams, and there's even speculation that he might be one of the earlier signings this offseason. And when I say that, it won't be with the San Diego Padres.
I think that's smart of Ha-Sung Kim. I mean, he's going to start the season on the shelf. So you want to get in, get the programs going as quickly as possible. A lot of speculation is that he will be a Giant and you know, buddy up with his pal Jung-Ho Lee. That seems to be a foregone conclusion that he's probably gone.
Well, yeah, and those reports would indicate that the path for returning to the Padres, which might be on a, you know, 1 year prove it type deal that accounts for the injury and gives him a chance to rebuild his value, will be unnecessary. You know, he's going to get a fairly similar deal to the one he would have gotten had he been healthy. And if he does that, then there's probably no spot with him. The Padres don't need Ha-Sung Kim on a 5-year deal.
No.
They have Leo Dallas DeVries that they believe in coming up at shortstop in the next couple of years. They do need someone to play shortstop this season, though. And if it's not going to be Ha-Sung Kim, there's a good chance it will be Xander Bogaerts. And maybe you just, if you don't have a path for Ha-Sung Kim, you just tell Xander in the next month, you're going to stay at shortstop at least one more season. But at that point, you really stop your pursuit of shortstops, correct?
Sure. Finally.
You know, once you've told Xander he's shortstop, you don't want to, man, we got this great trade opportunity in February.
Willie Adames or something.
And then all of a sudden, well, I don't think they're going to sign Willie Adames, but you never know what's going to happen. And you don't want to then go to spring training going, I know we told you you were going to play shortstop, but we've found this other guy now, and we're going to need you to move back to second base again. You have to, if you're going to tell Xander early, you're going to tell him early. You got to stick with what you tell him, I think.
I agree. And I do think he will be the shortstop on opening day this season. I mean, if you don't go out and do anything, right, in the infield, if you do nothing but just bring back the guys that you had, I think, are we all okay with that? You know, with Xander at short, Manny at third, obviously, and Crony at second, and Luis Arraez playing first. I think I'm okay with that right now. I mean, obviously, he's not a prototypical first baseman, but Luis Arraez provides a lot of value. This is the interesting one to me when they were talking about Luis Arraez. Kevin wrote, the Padres are looking forward to another season with Luis Arraez batting leadoff for them. And that's the one I looked at and said, oh, okay, well, there's the answer to that question. Will they move him down in the order? Because, you know, there have been – he's one of the most talked about players in baseball because of what he doesn't do, right? They write articles and long think pieces about the things that he doesn't do. And the things that he doesn't do is slug, and he's not getting on base as much as he used to. And A.J. Preller said he's going to go out and rake. The question,
what
I think...
was he this year, about 50 points below his career
MVP? About 30 points
30
below.
Points, 30 yeah. points, okay.
So he said the question, I think, for him is going to be, does he tighten it up, and can he get the on-base percentage higher? If he's getting on base at his career mark of 379, yeah, that's pretty good. You take that from the leadoff spot. But his 346 OBP was the lowest of his six MLB seasons. Remember, he did have a shredded thumb. So he got that fixed. He did his surgery, the day after the season ended, pretty much. He's ready to go. All from everything I've heard, and we know his old manager. Skip told me, I've never seen a guy that works as hard as he does in the offseason. Now, what that means, we'll see. But he will be putting in the work. He will take the directive from management and say, oh, okay, that's what you want me to do? Let's do it. Because how many times did we see the guy likes to hit? And how many bad balls did he swing at 3-1? You know, where, oh, my God, that was ball four, bro. Take the walk. You know, and so that's what they want him to get back to doing, is walking a little bit more.
That's the danger here, though. And I'm not saying that I disagree. He needs, if he's going to bat leadoff especially, he needs the on-base percentage to go up. It's fair to say that Luis Arraez didn't have a very good season for
Correct.
Luis Arraez. I know he won a batting title. I know he does amazing things with the bat. Wasn't a really good season for Luis Arraez.
He had a torn ligament. I get it,
but he's had much better seasons. If the Padres are going to rely on him as their leadoff hitter next season, they need him to be better than he was
Correct.
This last year.
That's what he said.
Not an insult. The Padres agree with that as
I
well.
I think a healthy Luis Arraez would tell you, oh, I'm going to be better.
Yeah, and like I said, he is a guy.
His career speaks for itself.
But he is the kind of guy that's going to take that directive.
A healthy Luis Arraez probably hits for a higher average than 314.
Yeah.
So that helps the on-base percentage some. But what A.J. really wants is more patience, more walks. His walk rate was half of what it was. Now, wasn't that big to begin with. It was 7.9% for his career, so 8%. It was down under 4% last year. If you can just get it back up to, 8% or even like 10 or 11%, Luis Arraez could be a 400 on-base percentage guy.
Correct.
Incredibly valuable. But when you're asking him to do that, is he not Luis Arraez anymore?
Luis Arraez does is he
takes bad ball pitches and singles on them. And if you're telling him now, don't swing at those anymore, are you fundamentally changing the player he is? Will his batting average dip down, though? He'll be a 280 hitter who walks more. Is that more valuable than what he was before?
I don't ever see Luis Arraez hitting 280 on any planet. He wants him to tighten it up, which, by the way, again, you're asking if he's not going to be Luis Arraez anymore. No, they want him to get back to being Luis Arraez with a 7.9% walk rate. Just get back to what you've always been. You're not Luis Arraez now, swinging at pitches out of the zone, swinging at pitches up. How many times on a 3-1 did he get that fastball up and he just kind of lofted it in the right field, and you're like, oh, did he? No, of course he didn't get it. Like, that's not falling. They're asking him to just get back to where he was.
Was it a mistake? Were they a little too deferential with Luis Arraez last year, going, hey, you just be you, go out and do your thing, when they should have said from the very beginning,
tighten it up.
Be you, but tighten it up a little bit, man. We're going to bat you leadoff. You need to get on base. You can't be swinging it.
Well, I think you give him
3-1 pitches that are close up out of the zone. That's not your pitch. Don't swing at that anymore.
He wasn't here the entire season, so you acquired him. And then I think you say, all right, go out and see. You don't want to start tinkering with a guy right when he gets there, especially when he hurts his thumb. Now, for me, it doesn't make sense. Ligament in my thumb, I'm probably swinging less than I would if I didn't, And he I think, swung a little bit more. So just get back to being the Luis Arraez that comes in with a, 379 OBP, getting, taking your walks when you get them, and then continuing to get your hits. And, he set a goal for himself. He's not going to hit it, but he's like, I want to get 300 hits in a season. I would like to see it. I would love to see somebody get 300 hits in a season. It would be fantastic. So I have no doubt he's going to put in the work. I have no doubt he's going to take that message and say, yeah, challenge accepted. I can't wait to see him. And listen, man, if it's not working out in the leadoff spot, it's not like you can't move him around, but it does sound like he's going to be back batting leadoff for the Padres.
Had some mixed news and notes about Jurickson Profar. AJ Cassavell in his MLB.com newsletter said it's probably going to be one of the offseason priorities for the Padres. He's number two on his list of making, getting Jurickson Profar back into the fold. But Kevin Acey had a much more pessimistic view of a reunion between the Padres and Jurickson Profar, saying that around the league, there's speculation that, while the mutual appreciation between Profar and the Padres could lead to a reunion on a lesser deal, the projections for Profar between $12 and $16 million a year for 3 years is almost certainly more than the Padres are willing to pay. So if Jurickson gets what people are thinking he's going to be offered, he won't be coming back to the San Diego Padres, according to Kevin Acey. In fact, it's according to people around the league, they believe it's unlikely Profar returns to San Diego. So that's a very different picture than the one I think we were thinking and maybe assuming going into this offseason that, yeah, I mean, there's a chance Jurickson leaves if he gets a really good deal, but probably he's going to be back. Kevin's turning this around and saying there's a chance he could be back, but probably he's going to leave and go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how you have to handle that. And I think, is there some gamesmanship in that, Benny? A little bit. Is there some gamesmanship in saying, we would love to have you back, but it's got to be a fair and equitable deal for both of us, and we understand. Go out there, man. See if the grass is finally greener for you. And if not, then let's work something out. It says they did, the agent and the Padres did talk. They did not discuss money. So they're just trying to probably figure out, all right, where's his head at? What does he want to do? You want to move to Kansas City and make 15 a year? I mean, it's not the worst idea. They got a pretty good team. Is that where you want to go? Because they could probably get you $12 to $15 million a year there that you're not going to get in San Diego. I'll be pulling for Pro wherever he goes, and I hope he stays. But, that's $45 million for 3 years is a decent chunk of change.
I will stand by what I said earlier this week. I don't think the Padres are going to be the ones who present a big offer right away to Jurickson Profar. They're going to wait and be patient. And then they're going to react to what the market offers to Jurickson. I would think Jurickson's going to give them every opportunity to match or come close to matching and bring them back. If the Padres can't do that, then Jurickson's gone. But this is not something they're going to pursue actively and early. They will be more than happy to welcome Jurickson back on a deal that makes sense later in the offseason if Jurickson doesn't find something to his liking elsewhere. And that'll be up to Jurickson, whether he finds something to his liking elsewhere or knows maybe the grass isn't greener somewhere else, and I'd like to be back in San Diego.
Yeah, there's more little notes in here. None of them are super, I don't want to say confidence inspiring, but none of them are super like, oh, hell yeah. I mean, they talked about in here potentially keeping the payroll in the 200 to 210 range, which I know, if somebody told Ben Higgins, Padres fan, 10 years ago, that's what the payroll would be, you'd be elated, but I don't know that that's, that makes me super excited, 200 to 210 right now. And then they're talking about Michael King in the next note, and it says, while the Padres are interested in keeping King, he grew to love San Diego, the likelihood of the sides reaching a multi-year deal soon seems low. So, I mean, not great.
More pessimism than optimism from what we've seen.
Yeah.
Also some talk about keeping their eye on the Japanese pitchers who are available in the market, including Roki Sasaki, AJ, just like other GMs, waiting to see if he's going to be posted. And if he is, he will make as strong of a push as possible to try to sign him to that minor league deal that he'd be eligible for. They're also looking at the older Japanese pitcher who could be coming over, Tomoyuki Sugano, They've been scouting him a long time. And then there's Yusei Kikuchi, who's already around and pitched well for the Astros down the stretch after the trade deadline. All of those potentially targets for the Padres this offseason. So we did get some new news and notes yesterday. We'll come back, talk a little bit about the Thursday night football drama last night and play Take on Woods next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.